Natalie and Matthias, and we welcome you to our conversations with B2B ecosystems experts and platform founders. Our goal here is to uncover what they learned and help you launch and scale platforms, marketplaces, and business ecosystems.
Welcome, guests, to our next episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. In today's episode, Natalie and myself are welcoming Malte Sohr, Managing Director of Test Exchange. Test Exchange is Europe's leading marketplace for industrial testings and helps product companies to find providers for testing, inspection, and certification services, kind of revolutionizing the testing industry. There are about 50,000 laboratories in Europe and about 7,000 of them are on the platform right now. Today, we will talk about a special theme, marketplace-enabled software as a service. So how a marketplace can be a complementary value proposition for software companies. We will also go deeper into chicken egg problem solving for complex services, deeper value propositions than just matchmaking as a key for B2B platforms, blockchain, and of course, sustainability. Happy to welcome Malte. Let's start with our episode. Happy to have you here in our conversations, Malte. And happy to join the conversation with Natalie too. And maybe as a quick intro and as a quick start, maybe you can introduce yourself to the audience and also explain in your words, what is Test Exchange?
Yes, hello. Thank you, Matthias. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me and to talk about Test Exchange and our learnings. I'm really fascinated about engineering and technology, and that is also my background and the core of Test Exchange. I'm a trained mechanical engineer working in test engineering for a long time in research, in automotive industry, even at the Porsche Research and Development Center, testing some transmissions, later emissions and materials. I later on built up my own material lab based on a new testing method that I developed with friends and partners of mine in the research institutions. And that gave birth to Test Exchange, the marketplace for the testing industry. And happy to go into details and look at how we're doing this and why we are so convinced that this is something that was missing in this industry.
Great. Can you maybe a little bit more explain what Exchange in detail is doing and how it helps the maybe consumers and producers of the marketplace or on the platform, and also a little bit about your history? So how have you started and how have you gone from zero to today?
Yeah, sure. So testing is not something that everybody knows, but probably everybody needs in some way. So every product, every physical product that we use, would it be cars or phones or hair dryers, whatever, needs some sort of testing before it can go to the market. That is because there's regulations, there's laws that producers have to fulfill. There's also performance questions that the manufacturers need to clarify. So, of course, if you drive a car and you drive it to Finland and it's minus 35 degrees, you're of course expecting your car to start and open the door properly, and that needs to be tested before that product can go into sales, right? And so this affects all of us, and there's a large number of test labs out there that cater to this to these clients, as for example car makers or Apple phone makers and so on. We connect the two sides with our marketplace. We connect the manufacturers to the test labs because it's not always clear where and which company would be the best choice for the project at hand. And maybe a little bit to our history. Yeah, just quickly pointed out, I built up my own lab in the beginning, and I was not happy with many aspects of how interaction works with the clients and about the transparency of this market. And so that gave birth to our platform. And you already mentioned quickly, it's more than a marketplace, because these services are quite complex. It's a complicated technical problem. And so it's not as easy to choose and find the right supplier as it might be with hotels or, you know, a consumer good that you just want to buy.
So in fact, you're talking very rightly about those two communities or stakeholders, types of stakeholders that you are connecting. Mm-hmm. On one hand, the manufacturing or the manufacturers, which is the demand side, and on the other hand, mm-hmm. the test labs, which is the offering, the offer side. And obviously, the very well-known problem or headache that we have in that case is, how do we solve that chicken and egg problem? How do we onboard the demand side? How do we onboard the offer side? And how do we coordinate the network effects and make sure that they feed into each other? Can you tell us a bit more about how you approach this?
Absolutely, yes. So in the very beginning, before even launching our marketplace, we built up a database with the supply side, all the labs. And we needed to do this because, as I said, those are complex services and it's not obvious to the demand side, the clients, who does what kind of testing. And so we built up this very large database today comprising more than 7,000 labs and listing for each individual lab mostly a couple hundreds of test methods that they actually offer. And today this is of course growing by itself, but in the beginning this was our effort, and we were looking for this information and compiling it into a structured form in a database. And that was also our way of solving this chicken egg problem. We put this offering site online in a way that all these labs have something like a storefront, something like an online presence on our marketplace, and the demand side could find those labs by browsing through our website. And that is how we, you know, grew the demand side. And at the same time, having the offering side listed, we could we call this onboard these labs by forwarding real requests for business to these labs. And this is, I think, a quite elegant an effective way of growing both sides. Because of course, if you come with an actual offer to a lab and tell them, hey, this is, we're a test exchange, we are a marketplace, and here's a client that is looking for something that you are offering, would you like to take part? That was an easy pitch mostly, and we were able to grow the supply side quite quickly, actually.
Yes, so you made very easy the onboarding for the labs, for the offering side. In fact, they had at the beginning they had probably almost nothing to do.
Exactly, they didn't have to do anything. We just came with a real offer and connected the two sides, and then after a while, when they got interested and, you know, accepted our terms and say, hey, this is great, let's work together, then of course we invited everybody to take over the profile and edit the profile and extend it and improve it and add more information. And this is now a user curated database, if you want, and people are uploading quite a bit of information and correcting and putting emphasis on things they want to offer, taking out maybe things that they're not so interested in offering. And so this is something that gets better every day. And of course, the clients love this this fact that, because they have been working with their own kind of a tool to keep track of what their suppliers do. And this could be like an Excel sheet, for example, that is always outdated, if you want. And so we you know, kind of have, I think, much better offering already today for that problem.
Sounds very good. So it's really a kind of a kickstart. So you researched all the labs, entered them, and then you created a kind of a matchmaking platform. But today you are much more than matchmaking. So you're not just facilitating finding each other. What else do you do today?
Yeah, that's right. Finding a lab is not the biggest problem. Maybe it could be one of the problems in the beginning, but One of the things that happens in these testing projects is that the collaboration between, let's say, a larger client, an automotive maker maybe, or an aerospace company, working together with or contracting a small lab, because those are usually smaller kind of companies, you know, called this Mittelstand in Germany, right? Maybe 20, 50, 100 people or so, not huge corporates usually. And so if these two sides work together, then of course the lab is not able to provide the perfect tools that such clients would love to use, meaning, you know, getting a status, for example, on our testing project, or automatically entering data that is produced in the lab into the ERP or any other system that maybe the engineers use, is not common as we might expect this. And that is also one of my personal experiences, that we had to invest quite a lot of time for our clients in order to do things that didn't have to be done in a synchronous way. So, for example, our clients would call us up or try to call us, and they wouldn't reach us just for asking small question, for example, a status of the project that could be put into a dashboard on the platform, and then people are informed right away. We don't have to speak about this via the phone. And so our initial idea of this platform and the vision absolutely comprises more than a marketplace, much more, because we're offering a real software for collaboration between those two parties of the market.
And of course, this enables you to monetize the services, I guess. Can you tell us a little bit about your monetization strategy? For example,
absolutely, yes.
Sorry, Malte. So, for example, is the matchmaking payable, or are you charging more for those intelligence and software services? How do you handle this?
Yes, that depends of what the client needs. So, if we help the client to find a new lab, we monetize this with a commission model. So basically, we're matchmaking a lab to a customer, and we get paid by the lab with a commission on that business that is done. But we also monetize in a classic license fee model our software that we are improving and building still, meaning that if the two parties have been working together already for some time, and they're not actually looking, so the client is not looking for a new lab, but he's looking for improving his way of working with that lab, then we charge both sides to pay us via license fee for using our softwares.
So this is a very interesting kind of strategy, and also way how you came up with this whole thing. So sometimes when we collaborate with companies and corporates, they start as a software company. They have a software, they have an on-premise software, they move the software into the cloud, and now they're thinking about how can I build on top a marketplace. You came the other way around. You started as a marketplace and said, hey, there's much more than matchmaking. There's a lot of more inefficiency in the market we can remove why are offering a great software helping to coordinate all of those test efforts and whatever, and test ways of testing, etc. So it's a really interesting approach. How do you see both, let's say, business models, the software business model, like you mentioned, you offer as a for licenses, and the other way, the marketplace where you monetize via matchmaking? How those two are really play together?
We think this both sides will be probably equal, like an equal strong revenue source for us, because we already see that for our clients it's really important to not only find the right lab, but also to be able to get the contracting part of this of these projects done quickly. The contracting part meaning choosing the right lab and then starting the project. And that could also be if they already have options and they have partners where they could be, do the testing. So we see ourselves moving into a direction where we offer more services from our side, more technical services also. So we can really quickly quote on actual projects for the client and help him to get the right partner contracted. And we even move into a, if you want, a subcontracting mode where we act as a virtual lab using all our lab partners as our resources, and but offering our clients a service where we are one single supplier to this company. So that is an additional service that has a great potential and that has developed really well in this year especially. But of course, as the software side grows and gets more features, gets more depth, the more vertical integration into both companies, the more we can, of course, charge for the service and this added value. And so really see this as equally important to our platform.
Yeah, so I can imagine that the marketplace is also, and the marketplace and the software plays very well together in a T-shaped way. So the marketplace is kind of the horizontal view about all verticals. And as you mentioned also on your website that you're covering all kinds of tests for automotive, for whatever, medical product and so on. So there's a lot of different kind of tests. So you have a broad overview about what is happening in the whole test market. And then you maybe see also where are the biggest inefficiencies for each vertical, because I think each vertical has also some kind of specifics. So a medicine test is completely different than an iPhone product test or whatever. So, or other laboratories are maybe required. So maybe you have to also adjust your software a little bit, customize the software depending a little bit on the vertical. So you also see where's the biggest inefficiency, and then you can better prioritize the development of your software in this way.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And that is, I think, one of the strengths also that we already provide to the market, that we do have this large variety of different testing areas, different industries. And just as you pointed out, the need for a collaboration software is different in those different industries. And it's very pronounced, for example, in testing electronics, just as mobile phones, for example, but now even more important in the future will be connected devices. That's very complex to test. A huge amount of tests needs to be done. A lot of regulations need to be fulfilled. And here, our software is giving a lot of value, because if you test such a device, you know, today toasters have a Bluetooth module, right? Or refrigerators, all these home appliances, or any component for cars or other vehicles, and have some sort of a connectivity. And to test this, the software can really help to get the test planning done faster, to get overview and status of the testing, and to save a lot of money and a lot of effort on that side. But in other industries, you mentioned medical devices. This year, of course, the personal protective equipment, face masks and gloves and all these things are a huge topic during the pandemic. Of course, the testing of these things is more manual, and it's also could be done quicker. And here, our service of providing an overview and quoting fast and getting the contract in place quickly is a huge advantage to our clients in that industry.
And in fact, you're talking, what you're mentioning is a very important topic. It's also the responsibility. So because those tests are very, well, not only legally required, but also very important, specifically when we're talking about medical devices, I guess this, how do you handle this whole responsibility element, not only for data protection, for example, RTPD, etc., but also maybe responsibility of the result, or how do you manage the security of results and, you know, avoid falsification, for example? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really very important topic. That's true. And it starts probably with making sure that the providers that we offer have a high standard of quality. That is in part ensured by the fact that most important labs have a lab accreditation. There's a management system in place in these labs. And if you want to, for example, sell face masks in Europe, especially the filtering face mask, for example, there's special rules and a certificate you need for that. And yes, there's a lot of falsification done with that. But if you do the testing at an accredited lab that is actually accredited for this type of test they're doing, then you can make sure that the quality of testing has the standard that is needed by the law and the rules applied in the EU. Of course, and we've seen this so much this year, there is a lot of falsification with certificates. So people just, you know, start to falsify the actual document, the paper, basically. That is actually not that complicated to avoid these problems if you check out the number of the certificate and then, you know, go back and see who did this. Does it actually exist? And if it doesn't exist, then you can say, sorry, but this is not sufficient for selling this in our market. And this way, protecting the consumers. And as I told you, we have seen so many of these falsified certificates that it's actually very important to take a deeper look into those things and see what's on the market. And even so, we have seen some interesting products in the market also.
Yeah, and it's interesting it's very important for your customers, obviously, but it's also very important for your platform and the trust that customers will have in your platform. So it's both those angles, I suppose.
Absolutely. That's a key element to the platform, the trust issue, especially in this industry. And not only because of the personal safety of all of us using these products, but also from the customer view, it's just too important for most customers to get this right in the first shot, basically. I mean, if we're talking about an automotive company testing, let's say a real light of some vehicle that is built several hundred thousand times per year, and you have two rear lights or three maybe, then of course you want to make sure that this product is not failing. Of course, this would be a huge cost if it did, but also the actual testing of this product is very expensive, can be hundreds of thousands of euros. So yes, trust is of highest importance, and we're making sure that we fulfill this by, for example, showing all the necessary accreditations and by providing a secure environment on our website, of course.
And platforms have also other opportunities or options to implement those trust mechanics, as we call them, like filters, reviews, etc. So as a laboratory, maybe can give a false certificate or whatever, but maybe the reviews from the users can be not manipulated by them because they are on your platform. Is this something you also have implemented, kind of a review mechanics or other trust mechanics, just to ensure that you not only rely on the information you get from the supplier?
Yes, we are building that up, that is, of course, a classic tool that is used, especially in the B2C environment, to be seen, because people, of course, trust opinions of other people quite a bit. We call that, or we consider that, a more soft approach to provide to the user, because, as I said, if you are contracting a accredited laboratory, then there is no such thing as manipulating data. Especially, it's not only a PDF you're getting. It's very usual that the clients also request raw data from the actual measurements. And those are calibrated measuring instruments. And so that is really something more unlikely, I would say, that data gets falsified in the lab, for example. But it is a great tool for a platform to offer, you know, the experiences of other clients on softer factors, just as how was responsiveness, maybe how was the project dealt with? Were they on time? Did they deliver exactly what they were promising? And these things, right, which are maybe just as important to a customer as the more hard facts like data on measuring the object.
So the point I wanted to make here is also coming back to our model we always use to explain the value proposition of a platform. So we have this understanding of a value stack. So you have three layers in the platform. Yeah, you have to create strong capabilities to provide a user of the platform a strong value proposition. And the three layers are the engagement layer, the intelligence layer with the data, and also the infrastructure layer. And here I also see, of course, the explained trust mechanisms like reviews and ratings, etc. Those are more on a engagement level, so on the top level. But you, with your software you created, you are very strong now also on the intelligence layers, on the data layer. So you have more visibility because people are using your software in the cloud to orchestrate everything. So you have real data from the real world. You're not only relying on the data from the user. And so you can complement the user data with your, let's say, software data and give really better recommendation. Is this something you utilize right now, or maybe you have plans to utilize further in the future?
Yes, so we already see this coming our way, especially from the automotive industry, that there's a high demand for data protection and confidentiality. And there's a standard for this for the automotive industry, implementing quality standards, ISO 16949, where you have to ensure that all parties involved are safe in terms of there's no data leakage and no there can be no problem issues with confidentiality. That is something we are already offering as, of course, SSL encrypted environment, which is safe for the user today. But what we are still building up and which will be more important in the future is data for the two sides that are involved only to be decrypted, basically. That is something we do not offer yet, but we see that could be more important in the future. And of course, even today, this is a great step forward because we do see a lot of the communication that goes from clients to labs and the other way going through unencrypted emails with attachments that actually need to be protected. And that raises the question, like, what is the status quo today and where can we really deliver some more value? And I think I just pointed out where. So that is something where we can increase the value we add quite a bit in the future.
So talking about the future, so you mentioned encryptions, etc. So do you also think about blockchain or DC blockchain technology, decentralization, etc. here also as a future technology which can continue to provide a value here? Or do you think, yeah, we tested it and yeah, just the real clear benefit, the clear real value we can't really see right now?
That could be. I think that it's a very interesting technology that could be used, especially if we look at sharing data with other parties. For example, I and my lab have experienced this quite a bit, that different clients ask for the same product to be tested. And of course, the result is the same or similar. And so we could think into the future building up databases of testing results, for example, for materials. There's companies out there already that build this. And to make sure that everything which is in there is correctly treated and tested, blockchain could be one of the fundamental technologies used here. I don't know if our industry today and the way we operate is yet prepared for technologies of that kind, just because this industry is quite under digitalized right now. And so we have to catch up building basic things. And I think we're already building the infrastructure for this market and this industry by what we're offering. And so there's a way to go, but absolutely, blockchain could be something that can be of importance in the future.
And so do you see specific challenges moving forward? Like, for example, the maybe lack of digitalization of the industry that still needs to catch up, or maybe other challenges that you've identified in your kind of trajectory of development?
Absolutely. Rolling out our marketplace onto a global scale is not trivial. We see that there's so many different markets, there's so many different ways of running and operating a lab in different countries, and just the sheer task of compiling all this data about all the labs is not as easy as it might sound. So there's quite a bit of work to do, and the under-digitalization is, of course, not helping so much, because it's just unheard of for some clients to log into a dashboard and shoot the message to your lab via that dashboard, and then attaching documents to that. Even though it's so much easier and so much safer, we do things like supporting Internet Explorer 11, for example, right now, because this is probably 10 years old or so, just because our partners use that program still, and so you can see that there's some work to be done, but I think we have been lucky and really fortunate of being received quite well in the market, also on the side from the labs, because of course a platform also could be seen as a potential problem for that market, right?
Yeah, they could see you as shortcutting them, but in fact it sounds like you're adding a lot more value to this ecosystem and actually structuring the ecosystem. And and I guess the regulations also will vary. Regulations for testing will vary per country, or at least maybe in Europe and then Asia in the US, so you will have also that element that will probably be another challenge.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, access to markets for manufacturers is a huge topic. So the same product that they sell in Europe, and Europe is quite a big single market, could pose quite a problem if it's supposed to be sold in Brazil or in Egypt, maybe, or in these countries that are not part of the EU, or maybe the North American market or Asia, let's say China. And so that is also something that we can absolutely provide and help finding the right partner for those markets, and thus reducing the time to market for manufacturers, which is a key element for their success, of course, to get this done quickly. So that is something we hear quite a bit from our customers.
And talking about regulations, norms, etc., something we all witness right now is the awareness around sustainability and the awareness about what can we do better for our planet and our environment. So I assume also the norms and the regulations out there for testing products or testing things include more and more those kind of aspects regarding sustainability and the impact to the environment. Is this also something what you see, and how do you react on this? How can you support this? Can you also kind of state how your marketplace or how your software helps to create a better environment, a better planet we are living in?
Absolutely. Yes, we do see this, the regulations getting more restricted almost every month, basically, because we are passing laws and rules that make products more sustainable. And then that leads to more testing. Plus, to go all the way back to our conversation, all of a sudden, maybe the client doesn't know who's actually offering that new kind of test for that new kind of rule that is that was just applied. And yes, we absolutely see ourselves also as being part of a larger problem that's affecting everybody. And it's so important to us to work on sustainability. And I think we, as a platform, are helping also in this aspect, for example, by making sure that the testing gets done more locally. I mean, we have such a globalized supply chain in some areas that it's just normal for clients to, you know, bring a product from China and then test it here and then send it back to China, for example, just because it's the traditional way that worked so far very well. But we, with our global footprint now of partner labs, can absolutely offer to do the testing of maybe a larger product that is produced in China, do the testing also in China because it's later on built or into a product that is assembled in China, right? So it really doesn't make sense to send this around the world and then send it back. And that is, I think, quite an important part of where we can help out. Plus, of course, another aspect is that offering a better market transparency also gives the client the possibility to choose a more sustainable partner in whatever way. So, for example, if he can choose between two labs and one is offering testing methods that are just less energy intensive, then, you know, he could be relying on that partner and fulfill his own goals in terms of sustainability easier than before.
Do you think that's a reality in the demand of the customers at this point, or maybe it's a nice to have, considering where they are at in terms of digitalization of all those processes, and you know, it's more of a it will become more of a priority moving forward, but maybe not as strong today.
Yes, that's true. It is not the priority number one, absolutely not, and that is a problem, of course, for all of us, because it's, you know, all these little parts that play into working on a more sustainable world. But I'm pointing out that we are able to offer such services if they get the priority. And of course, that is probably up to legislation or internal rules within the clients to actually make that happen. That is not something we can do for them, but we can help, and, you know, offering the infrastructure and the possibilities via our platform. But yes, digitalization in general and other topics that we discussed today are of higher priority, especially time to market and, you know, getting things done fast.
It will become, you're talking about regulation, it's becoming more and more important for manufacturers to measure the carbon footprint of their products, because some of them will have to actually give that information to the consumer. Probably that there are some other priorities also, like efficiency, like cost, etc. at this point.
Exactly.
It is nice to see you embedding that choice in the platform.
And this is also what we see right now. So a lot of companies out there claim they want to be CO2 neutral, or maybe kind of positive until in the next 3 years or whatever. So turn this around. But when you talk to B2B partners, then it's still very, very low, those ambitions. And so it's a clear strength of our governments to come up with those laws and push them into this direction. So I think this is absolutely necessary when you look and talk to all those B2B companies. Malte, this was really a brilliant insight into your whole world of testing, etc., and then how this works, and also how you build up this marketplace and also turn this into a software business, and how both worlds can really evolve each other, play well together each other, and can support each other to make this really, really strong. I also learned a little bit more about trust, especially in your environment, and how you build up trust, and that also with your software you can support the trust mechanisms of your platform, of your marketplace, and also that sustainability plays a more and more important role. So thank you very much from our side to join this conversation. And maybe you can have again this conversation in 1 year or so, and then let's have a look how you continue to enter the world. As you mentioned, you want to go global.
Perfect. Yeah, it was my pleasure, and thank you very much for inviting me. It's always beautiful to share what one is doing. And to be honest, the testing and certification industry is not something that is on everybody's mind all the time. So we're happy to share a little bit of insights here. And yeah, it would be great to talk in the future and see how things were going, and if we could contribute a little bit to the digitalization of that industry, testing and certification.
But before we leave, we always ask our guests about a final question, and this is about maybe you as an executive, as a leader, as the founder of Test Exchange. You have gone through a lot of ups and downs, I believe, and so you as a leader, what would be your key advice to other leaders, especially regarding platforms? What should they consider? What should they have in mind? Or what would be your advice?
Mm-hmm. So building up a platform and a marketplace, I think, is by definition a complicated thing, because you have to build these two sides, and it's not only the chicken-egg problem, it's just more complex to take care of several sides. And so we have experienced that you have to try a lot of things until you find the way to be successful, and that's hard. It's tiring, and you have to put a lot of effort and a lot of patience also into this, especially in B2B markets. I think it takes a little bit of time, and so I would ask everybody to be a little bit patient, be consistent, and follow your plan, but also be open and flexible enough to try other things, maybe even in parallel. Even though, of course, other parties might always say, like, you have to focus on one thing and you have to do this, and then you maybe fail with doing this, right? So I think it's really important to stay flexible, try many things, and be patient. And I know that is probably a classic advice that maybe everybody gives, but I think it is really not... this can't be stressed enough how important the team is, and how... it's the team that is actually building this. And so I think it's really worth trusting your gut feeling with the people you work with, and then taking care of them quite a bit, and foster and work on being an actual team that pulls forward. I think that is really the key of being successful. And that is nothing new, right, really, but it's still true for us.
It sounds really like a great advice from a test marketplace, to say, yes, when you enter, or when you start realizing your vision, then go out and test. So test your assumptions. So,
that's right.
Thank you very much for joining us, and looking forward to the next conversations
Thank you, and good luck, and all the best to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.